Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. We're so excited for today's episode. If you missed last week, you really need to go back and watch it because we are discussing the new book, Misfits, Learning from Our Inner Outcast and How It Can Empower Us to Find Our Destiny. That's loaded right there.
Yeah.
So as we're discussing this, I know part of the reason that we wanted to do this book was because everybody feels like a misfit. So Nita, tell us a little bit about a time where you particularly felt like a misfit.
Okay, I was born and here I am.
Right? The end.
Okay, no, when I was a little girl, I was so horse crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people around me were obnoxious with my obsession with horses. Just I'm saying. I'll just give you one example. I was about 12 years old. Get this, I'm 12 years old, and I live in a small little community of cabins, and there are other little tinier children in the neighborhood. And I made me a makeshift tail, and I wore my big brother, my brother John, had a big old set of cleats, and they were the steel cleats that made noise when you clippy-clop, and it sounded just like a horse.
Nice.
I stole those things and put them on my feet, put my fake tail on. I put a little harness around me to a wagon that some other neighbor kid owned, and I entertained all those neighborhood kids all summer long in that wagon, pretending to be their little horsey, and I loved it. But my peers, obviously, they were a little concerned. But I got along really well with the kids that were younger in the neighborhood, but that was some of the most funnest memories for me, because in my own little world I was living, I lived there.
Right.
Without the scrutiny or the criticism or the mean girls in the world at school. This is what I did at home. So yeah, that was one of my misfit things. And that actually has carried me through to where I'm at now. I'm not saying that I still pretend to be a horse, but I live with them and I do mess with them and I drive them in a little cart and so the funny things about childhood, mm-hmm. sometimes is kind of preparing you for something, what you're going to do in your mm-hmm. inner outcast destiny.
Yeah. Right.
And so you might say I was so horse crazy that if you would have poked me, my blood doesn't run, it gallops. So that's just one example of how I was a misfit. Part of the reason of being a misfit was because my parents moved all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we moved probably once a year, sometimes twice a year, and I never fit in because I barely just would get to know these people.
Right.
And then we were moving again. So I never really had, my best friend was my little sister. That made it very difficult for me to develop social skills in one place.
Right.
I learned how to leave. And I learned how to come in, and I just mm-hmm. the walls of the little nesting dolls.
Yeah.
Those,
mm-hmm.
I was developing those very quickly.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I was doing that until later on in my life. So if you're living in a nesting doll, please don't give up.
Right.
God will help you get past that. I'm still growing.
Shed those.
I just never want to stop telling you how I'm still growing. You don't think you ever will. That's one example mm-hmm. of my misfit life.
So, of feeling like you were a misfit and you didn't fit in.
And I can relate to pretty much every one of those little dolls or toys on the Island of the Misfits in whatever degree that they represent different characteristics in our inner outcast self.
Well, and I might add this to your testimony. You say at one point, my best friend was my sister. But what you didn't say, probably because you didn't want to go there, but I'm going to, because let's be real, you lost her at a very young age.
I did.
You lost her before either one of you were 12, right?
She was 11. I had just turned 13.
Oh, okay.
So barely.
So you were in a very, very serious developmental mm-hmm. psychological age when you lost the only friend you had.
Yeah.
And your father in the same day.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's all a part of your testimony. I'll let the audience know in case they want to read that. It's called No Fences. And the subtitle is It Started with a Plastic Pony. And that's your story. And it's funny because I remember working with you on that book. And I remember that when I was helping you figure out what the outlines and stuff like that were going to be, you kept mentioning you wanted to keep it light. You didn't want to get into the death. And we just couldn't not put that in there because mm-hmm. everything that made you a misfit mm-hmm. and helped you figure out what your actual destiny was, which has everything to do with Whispering Ponies Ranch, the pony therapeutic charitable ministry that you are the CEO of, that being at least the destiny as far as we can see it at this point, that what led you there absolutely was intrinsically drawn back over and over and over again to the accident that took your sister, and you not having any human that you could attach to.
Right. That's very true.
Well, and that's why you bring the kids to the ranch to help them get over some of what you had gone through with the horses.
Yes. Yes. So that's when they come out there, they have a few days of just reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
They get to bond with people. They learn what we talked last week about, the brokenness of trust. They start learning
how
that it's okay to trust again. And it starts with these little horses, because they trust the horses just innately. One note about No Fences is that when we did write that, that was the lighter side of my testimony. I left out all of the domestic challenges in our home, because I've just felt like that if I tell the positive, that would be
enough for now.
I keep calling it her magnum opus, which has a working title of Little Girl Lost, but it's never been written.
Yeah.
It's been started a few times, and the timing's not right, and it's funky when you try to do something out of God's timing, or as you would say, cadence.
Yeah.
She speaks in horsey terms. So God, for most people, has a timing, but for Nita / mom, God has a cadence, and she hears clip, clop, clip, clop. That's time.
Aww. Yeah. I want my big brother's shoes back.
John,
I love you. It's my brother.
So to continue kind of this conversation, I know we've all felt that. And I know Allie had kind of mentioned some of her feeling like a misfit in modeling school and how they told you you were fat, which I can't even imagine a 16-year-old girl being fat. Mm. But
she was not.
I know she wasn't. I've seen the home videos and the pictures. So she was not fat whatsoever.
But they want you
real
skinny.
But you didn't fit their mold.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't fit their mold.
You know, when you grow up a PK, a pastor's kid, you move a lot. And you also end up in this situation where the people in the church, whether they mean to or not, completely outside of your parents. Like, honestly, we had good parents. They were really good about expecting our best. But then kind of easing up when they knew we were giving our best.
Right.
You know, if I was capable of straight A's, they wanted them. But when I couldn't, they just wanted my best. They were really good about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the people in the church put a lot of pressure on pastors' kids to be perfect. And it's also confusing when you have lots of different people in the room and you start getting to know this congregation and you know that this guy's standards are here and that lady's standards are here. You start people-pleasing, just trying to keep everybody from kind of jumping your case when your parents aren't looking. And it happened all the time.
Yeah, and because they think for some reason they have authority over you.
I mean, a silly story. One time, mom did something silly. I can't even remember. And I was laughing. And I promise you, in no smart aleck terms, I was like, Mom, you're crazy. This woman jumped over me for saying that, because to her, this was saying that mom needed to be institutionalized. I mean, she went all the way to attend with it. Yeah. So my point is, you grow up with this pressure on you to be perfect and not to set anybody off. Then you go into, as a teenager, if you go into modeling school, which was all the rage when I was a teenager, and they really do want you somewhere between, at least back then, somewhere between a zero and a two.
Stuff.
And I was about a six. And so this was like all on fat for them. So I spent a lot of years in these situations like auditions, which back then were openly called cattle calls. And they have you in this room and there's between 50 and 500 other girls in the room and you are being compared out loud to the other girls. This is how they make their selection process. One, I'll never forget this one time. This guy had us line up against the wall and we had to put our hands up and lean out like we were going to be frisked by a police officer. And he came by and he did one quick touch on each of our hip bones right here. And he went, too fat, too fat, too fat. You're okay, too fat. And then he stood back and he said, if I told you you were too fat, you're cut. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating.
That's
and so I was telling Donna this the other day and she said, yeah, you have to clarify. For some people, they think this is going to be the moment you made the cut. Nope, I was too fat, had to leave the room. That was how I found out I wasn't getting that job. You know, it's really, I mean, I know that there have been people who have pioneered changes in that industry, and I hope that the changes are good. But 30 years ago, when I was 16, this is how it was. It was a brutal industry. I just kind of grew up feeling like I'm never good enough. I'm never perfect enough. I mean, and the thing is, I'm glad my parents didn't put that pressure on me, but you know, when your kid comes home, mommy, nobody at school likes me. And you go, well, I like you. The kid needs other people also to like them. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, even though my parents said I was good enough, I still have this feeling, I'm glad mom and dad love me. But when I walk outside of the house, I'm not good enough for anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. From these comparisons in this room with the modeling auditions mm-hmm. where it's, well, but we like her hair better. Okay, hold on. We got to put you two next to each other and we're going to study you. We like her skin better. You can go, you know. And so yeah. after a while, you're comparing everything.
Every aspect.
And I spent a lot of years hiding because I could not measure up to what my own standard for myself had become. It was to the point where it wasn't even inflicted by anybody else. But I had the Dolly for Sue. Everybody else is like, I don't get it. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, no, you don't get it. There's so much wrong with me and I have to stay over here. Yeah. I'm just going to go within my shell and hide because it's where I feel safe.
Right. And all the while, you were also giving everybody else around you grace. And I remember that being mm-hmm. your sister. I remember growing up and you hearing so-and-so at church doesn't think she's pretty, but she's so beautiful. And you would describe this person. Yeah. And coming from you, this was not a cattle call. You weren't right. the model who at home was saying, I don't like her skin. I don't like her teeth.
Right.
You were the opposite.
Right.
You
yeah.
were filled with grace and the ability to appreciate mm-hmm. that the beauty in God made in everybody except for you.
Right.
And you never afforded yourself the same grace that you gave to everyone else. And I felt like that needed to be said because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about Allie right. to think that because you were being compared all the time and struggling with your own deficits, if you want to call it that, that's so demeaning, that then later on you would see somebody else that didn't fit the model picture and you'd be like, well, at least I'm better than her. That was never your attitude,
I
ever.
I appreciate you saying that. No, it's kind of like you get this double lens, and I really do think women do this to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not good enough. Like, my house isn't organized enough. Then you can go to someone else's house and they'll be like, pardon the mess, and you're like, oh, no problem, you should see mine. Their house could be more messy right. than yours, but it doesn't bother you.
Right.
But you go home and your own mess bothers
your
you.
Your own standards are completely different than what you expect from somebody else.
Exactly.
My standards for myself are up here and my expectations for you are down here because I'm going to afford you that grace.
Right. And so we isolate.
Absolutely, we do. So how does this kind of tie back into the book for misfits? Do you talk about how to not feel so misfitty, if
really
that's
do.
A word, misfitty.
We really do. Because here's one thing we talk about in the book. There are obvious paths of temptation.
Yes.
That some people fall into. Things like substance abuse, adultery. Mm-hmm. There are just different things that are the pitfalls, and they're easier to identify the cause and effect and where you went wrong because they changed the trajectory of your life mm-hmm. when you made a cognitive choice to commit a sinful deed.
Right.
This is a kind of self-abuse that becomes a cycle within your mind.
Yeah.
And there are some people who will go through their life and they may not fall prey to the entrapment of substance abuse
right.
or, you know, pornography, gambling addictions, just different things that some people fall prey to. These are the people who do a lot of the work for the enemy because they shut themselves down.
That's right.
They harness
Absolutely.
And hold
right.
down their own potential
Absolutely.
Because they're so sure they are not worthy, that they are not lovable, that they're not one of the gang, that they don't fit in.
Right.
Or here's one of my personal favorites. You're okay to have all these problems, but if you only knew what I did, if you right. only knew what's in my past, if you only, well, you would never accept me. And so we isolate. It's a kind of entrapment that keeps us from finding our place in the kingdom of God. I kept thinking for years, when I get down to a size zero, I'm going to feel so much better about myself. Now, the
right.
funny thing is I'm looking back at my logic. I was upset that my house wasn't clean enough. I was upset that I wasn't a good enough mom. I was upset about all these things that had nothing to do with the size of my jeans. And yet I kept
yeah.
thinking when I'm a size zero, it's all going to come into place and I'm going
right.
to feel better.
Right.
I'm never going to be a size zero. If my skeleton alone walked out here, it's just not a size zero. It's just not, you know? And so we get to these ideas where when we achieve this thing, all the rest of this is going to
yes.
come into place. And the truth is we have to just start getting honest about where our shortcomings are and come in.
Yeah.
The answer to that isn't hitting the size zero. The answer to that is found in Scripture, honestly.
Absolutely.
It's in the bravery
Absolutely.
And the willingness and the faith to say, when God says he began a good work in me
yes.
and he will be
mm-hmm.
faithful
yes.
to complete it, that he meant it, that I am making progress. And and that's enough. All I have to do is be that person that surrenders to him every day and lets him continue that good work in me. Right. That I can look at this in faith and say, he knitted me in my mother's womb in the most mysterious places in the universe. Mm-hmm. And he knows who I am. And the flaws are there because he left them there so that through my weakness, he could be glorified.
Absolutely. I got to say, one 5-second addition to the end of what you just said. Ladies, that is the process of sanctification. We talked about it on the S for the acronym HIS.
Yep.
That is the continual process. I won't go into a big long thing, but we were having a conversation with a lady just before we started recording the shows today. And even she had to have those continual every Sunday morning come to Jesus moments and realized later, you don't have to feel bad about that. That's the process of sanctification.
Yes. Hold your thoughts, ladies. We're going to show you how you can get your amazing copy of this book and a whole bunch of free gifts.
With the holiday season here, it's crucial that we all remember the true reason for the season. Now you can uncover valuable truths about Christ's kingdom while awaiting his imminent return. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the largest holiday giveaway of the year, the Misfits Grand Giveaway. With so many in the body of Christ experiencing seasons of loneliness, insecurity, doubts about their God-given purpose, or feel like out-of-place misfits in the kingdom of God, the time for change is now. In their new book, Misfits, the ladies of Simply His delve into the vital spiritual realities and theological principles that demonstrate how these discouraging sentiments are not unique to you, but may in fact be indicators that you're on the verge of a spiritual breakthrough. In Misfits, you will learn surprisingly simple but life-changing biblical information that will empower you to discover your untapped potential, to find your God-ordained calling, and to embrace your destiny. Also included in this incredible holiday giveaway is Donna Howell's thrilling sequel to the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol, entitled Ebenezer, where she answers what was left unaddressed at the end of the Dickens novel, such as, whatever becomes of Tiny Tim? And what happens when people from all over London witness the change in Ebenezer and learn that the motivation behind all of his transformation began with what they believed to be ghostly visitations? Ebenezer is an instant holiday classic. You'll also receive the never-before-released collection, Christmas Classics, a beautiful volume of 9 full books with 14 stories total, all celebrating Christmas. These classic narratives will warm your heart and inspire you this holiday season, featuring titles in their entirety like A Christmas Carol, The Shepherd Story, The Shepherd Who Didn't Go, The Gift of the Magi, The Other Wise Man, and several more. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on data disc. Now, for the first time ever, this must-have assortment features 110 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length books are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices. Give this collection as the ultimate gift to somebody you know this holiday season, or take them with you wherever you go. Valued at over $1,500 all by itself. You'll also receive directly from the Skywatch TV archive the complete Teens Rock collection on DVD. Join Joe Horn and his talented group of young panelists as they discuss important issues facing today's modern youth culture, featuring bonus interviews with musicians Alicia and Whitney as they perform their original songs, So Much More, and Try Kneeling. And finally, included in the Misfits Grand Giveaway, Joe Horn's new CD, This Time Around, an anthology over 20 years in the making, featuring the entire Horn family performing hit singles like Long Drive. Talk to Jesus.
So let your heart light on fire for the one true Messiah. Talk to Jesus. Yeah.
This time around.
This time around. Yeah. It's not about my spotted record. Crying about the man I want to be.
And so many more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $1,600. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is the largest giveaway of the year, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season, and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Misfits Grand Giveaway, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back, to Simply His. We're continuing our discussion on the Misfit book. And I have a confession. I have always felt like a misfit as well. Imagine
okay.
that.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I grew up as a missionary kid or an MK, kind of like what you were saying, Nita. You traveled a lot. Well, we traveled a lot, too. It was a little bit different for us. So I was usually the minority, which was completely a different story altogether because I was usually the only white girl because I was in the midst of all of the Islander kids. I never fully fit in there. But for me, especially when I was more of a teenager, I wasn't around a lot of white people. So I was very uncomfortable around them because when I came home, people here treated me completely different than what I was used to in the islands. All of my friends were island kids and I wanted to be one of them. But what always gave me away was my hair because it was too straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's curly today, but you could always tell me apart because my skin was just a little bit lighter. I mean, I browned up a lot, but still not enough to actually fit in. And we were in the western province of the Solomon Islands when I was a teenager. And if you get down to the lower, more eastern part of the Solomon Islands, they do have a lot more lighter skin. And even some of them have very blonde hair. But it was still that kind of very curly hair. So the beautiful people. I miss home so much. I do consider that home in a lot of ways. But growing up, I didn't want to come back to the United States. I was fearful of that. I didn't like the idea of like, oh, now I fit in and now I'm just part of the crowd.
Yeah.
That was weird for me, you know, because I was so used to having all of my friends. And it was funny because we would go down to the wharf. Sunday afternoons was ship day. So the traveling ship would come through on Sunday where we were at. And we would sometimes, me and my friends would go down and watch the ship come in because people would load on and come off and because it was a transportation ship. And sometimes there would be white people on there and my friends would be like, hey, there's white people too. You're white. Want to go say hi? I'm like, I ain't saying hi to them. They're white. You know, so for me growing up, that was weird. And then coming back to the States, it's kind of like with you guys being preacher's kids, everybody's eyeballs were on you. So when we came back to the States, that was also kind of a negative mm-hmm. for me, especially because I was super shy anyways, and I didn't want to be in front of people. So when you're itinerating and you're in a different church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and if there's any kind of like missions convention, then who knows where you were right. in between all of that. So you were never at the same place when you were in the States itinerating, going to different church.
That's
and
tough.
Then you got to be on display. Oh, she's the missionary kid. Yes, you get to go stand up and act like you care. You know, that was kind of my life growing up as a kid. So I always felt like I was the misfit and I didn't know how and where to fit in with any of it because I wasn't an Islander, but I wanted to be.
So you relate to Moses, who was kind of like neither here nor there, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Two worlds in which he lived in.
Absolutely.
A lot of us do, really.
Yeah. So that was hard growing up, but it's kind of shaped me because I was able to see so many different, you know, cultures right. and how people lived. So it kind of helped shape me into the person that I am today. But it was rough as a kid. It's like, that's why I was such a bookworm for so long is because mm-hmm. I could, like you were saying, I was hiding. Mm-hmm. So it's like, here's my book. I'm going to read my book and you can't see me. I'm invisible.
And
so
now you're the host of Simply His for Skywatch Television.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's kind of crazy.
Catherine, in your misfitness, how do you use your experiences to help raise the four little children that you've been given by God?
That's a great question. My oldest especially constantly feels like a misfit. And it's a balancing act, man. It's hard when you hear your kid talking, I don't fit in, Mom. What do I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to build her confidence and say, well, Kate, that means God has a bigger plan for you. Yeah. God has a call on your life.
Yeah.
And nobody can shut down.
Yeah. And she is an amazing person.
She's
a very unique person. She's got such a cool personality and just this stunning wit and this dry humor. Mm. It's understandable why around teenage girls she might feel like a misfit
because
her humor and her style of conversation
yes.
and all of this is very different than most teenage girls. But
yeah.
what an amazing person. And by the way, such an unselfish person.
Oh my
goodness. You have done such a good job raising her. And she is such a giving and loving and kind person. Like, you raised a good human being. You really did. You know, she's a great person. But it is hard. And everybody knows that, you know, bullying is a whole different episode.
Oh my goodness,
But kids feel like misfits all the time. And so you have these kids at school. They feel like misfits. You have these other ones that probably also feel like misfits, and it's why they bully, because they're trying to compensate for that. And you know, kids have a hard road these days. Like, when I was a kid and I felt like a misfit, I know that was bad enough, but kids now are really struggling.
Well, and with social media, Snapchat, all these avenues where they can bully even to a next level.
Yeah.
And feel imperfect because the girl takes the perfect picture in the mirror, you know, and puts it on Instagram. And then there's like, well, why don't I look like her?
Right.
Why does she get to eat everything that she wants, but then I can't eat one Twinkie and I blimp out?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a whole mess of stuff for kids these days that it's horrible. And it's hard as a parent to try and get them to not feel like, no, just wait. Your time is coming. Your time is coming. Just own it, love it, embrace it. You have a purpose. And that's the biggest issue that we have to kind of keep working with the kids. Even Nita, she's the popular girl, but she can kind of come off as a snob and as a mean girl, which we're working on, because Charisse and I kind of tease that the face talks louder than her words sometimes. And she has that quite a bit.
And
so
by Nita, you're talking about your second child, this one.
No, not this Nita. Not mom. I would refer to her as mom. But little Nita, my Nita, who's named after grandma, she has that problem. But even she struggles with that sometimes, you know, fitting in on...
She does.
On how do I fit in? You need to talk to your kids. Have a relationship with them. If there's nothing else that you do in your life, make sure you pour into your kids and you have open lines of communication, because that's the most important thing that you can do as a mom. My kids know, okay, if you don't feel comfortable coming to me, and my kids tell me everything and anything, but I've also told them, you have safe people you can go talk to.
Right.
Go talk to your Aunt Donna. Mm-hmm. Go talk to your Blam. Go talk to your Aunt Ellie. Go talk to Penny. There's certain people in my kids' life that are safe people for them to talk to. Right. And so even when they feel like a misfit, Kate will go to grandma. Hey, grandma, what should I do about this situation? And that's okay with me. I don't have to do that, but my kids know I'm a safe person and I will always have their back. And that's part of what being a misfit is, right?
But it also means that you are willing as a mother during the age of the digital invasion to put your phone down. I can't stress this enough. I didn't have time during this episode to talk about my daughter, but she's right there in misfit land. And she does not fit in and she's not supposed to.
Right.
But while I'm helping to nurture her through that, I've had moments, and because of the line of work I'm in, my phone sometimes will blow up.
Right.
I have moments where I have to put my phone down.
Yep.
Because all of the people at work can wait. My daughter needs me.
Yeah.
Just last night, right?
Yes.
Actually, just last night, I shut Allie down and I said, I'm sorry, my daughter needs me right now. So I need to encourage you guys at home, please. Facebook can wait. Your texting can wait.
Yes.
Turn it off. Listen to your child.
Absolutely. And let me just clarify. Nita gets in trouble because of her face, but she is the most loving, most giving child ever. But we are also completely out of time, though.
So
we will be continuing this discussion next week, and we hope to see you there.